Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Guberti.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their business. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to explore our guest, Nick Looper's backstory of just crushing it on Kindle. Nick is an author, entrepreneur, and the chief side hustler at Side Hustle Nation. Welcome to the show, Nick.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show. So when it comes to writing Kindle books, the first thing that you have to do in order to get to that situation is have the reasoning behind it. Because you can't really pursue something unless you know why you're going to pursue it. So why exactly did you become a Kindle author?
Honestly, the first book I wrote was kind of an authority builder play. Like, I didn't really expect it to sell a ton of copies. Although, you know, if the royalties came in, I thought that would be pretty cool. That would be gravy. But I was running a site, and actually still run a site, on working with virtual assistants. And at that time, the site design left a little bit to be desired. So I was like, well, you know, short of investing in a redesign, one way to build authority would be to say, hey, I wrote the book on the subject. That's why you should trust me. And it was a little bit of of course, it took longer than I imagined it taking to do this process, and ended up hiring an editor, which was the best decision I ever made because it was embarrassing how many mistakes he found. And put it up for sale on Amazon, which, you know, was free to do. Got a cover made on Fiverr. So I was expected to buy like 10 different covers on Fiverr and pick the best one. But it was like number two came back and I was like, oh, I kind of like that one. So I ran with that as my poor man's 99 designs. And I remember getting like my first royalty check, a couple months later for like $42. And it was pretty awesome. Like, I was really, really excited by that. Like, hey, I'm a professional author. Somebody bought my thing. Somebody paid for this. And it was interesting because I expected people to come to the website and then go buy the book through my affiliate link. But because I used my affiliate link, I could track where those sales came from, and almost none, like I think one or two, like came through the site, and everything else came from Amazon's own ecosystem, which was really, really eye-opening and kind of a testament to the power of going to marketplaces of buyers, as you know very well with Kindle and with Udemy. It's like, hey, these are like pre-existing places where you can put your buy buttons that people have, have their credit card information stored, and they're actively looking for things to solve their problems.
You brought up a really interesting point as to how when you write a book and you publish it out there, it's a lot of credibility to say that you've written the book. And I find it very interesting that you actually started with the thought, I publish this book and I get authority, and you weren't thinking about how much revenue you would accumulate at the time. So before you hit that breakthrough with the revenue, what was the path like? I mean, was it just to build authority, or was there revenue in like a long-term goal or something else along that line?
Well, the advantage of a book is, you know, number one, the authority, and maybe secondary is that royalty stream or revenue stream. And so over the course of that book's been out for about three, almost 4 years now. I've updated it a couple times, and it brings in, you know, $50-$100 a month. So it's this asset that you kind of create one time and you can sell over and over again. So I think that's what makes it an attractive model. Even if the, you know, initial numbers, like I said, it was like $42 initial royalty check, weren't anything, super outstanding, if that makes sense.
So you said that the book, it gives you a good amount of revenue for each month. So this was all Amazon, or was there another factor involved that allowed your book to become successful?
So I've been playing around with, so this is primarily through Amazon. I also use CreateSpace to create a paperback version, which I was actually kind of surprised by. A couple of advantages of having a paperback version. Number one, I think it makes your listing on Amazon look more legit. Like, hey, this is a legit book. You can get a paperback version. You can set the price a little bit higher so that makes the Kindle price look a little bit more attractive. And some people just like, you know, prefer reading in paperback. So, you know, I definitely see some incremental sales through there. One of the interesting experiments that I ran was actually putting this book up for sale on Fiverr. So I interviewed a guy for the Side Hustle Show podcast who earned his claim to fame was he earned enough money on Fiverr to buy a house within like his first year on the platform. I was like, this is insane. Tell me more. How does it work? Because I've only ever used Fiverr as a buyer. And he's like, well, it's the marketplace of goods and services starting at $5. It's all about the upsell. The $5 gig has to be something that, you know, is pre-written, you know, a PDF file, an audio file, video file, something you can just, you know, deliver in a couple seconds without really thinking about it. And then if somebody wants your time, he was selling like copywriting services. So if somebody wants, he's like, I'll send you my, you know, 7 steps to a killer autoresponder sequence or something. And it's like, okay, if you want me to write the sequence for you, then that's going to be in the upsells. But I started, you took his advice and put this book up for sale on Fiverr. And for the first couple months that I had it up there, it actually outsold the Amazon version during that time period, which was really, really crazy to me and kind of inspiring. So another example of a marketplace of buyers, you know, it's a search engine in itself. And, you know, why not syndicate that stuff if you haven't checked the KDP Select exclusivity clause box?
I would have never thought of promoting my book on Fiverr. That's really impressive because, I mean, when you think about self-publishing, you think KDP, Nook Press, there's like Apple iTunes Connect. I would have never thought of Fiverr.
I don't know. Do you sell it? Like I get occasionally like I syndicate through Smashwords for Nook and Kobo and these other platforms and iBooks, and it's maybe 5% of what Amazon brings. It's almost nothing. Like it's almost not worth the trouble. Do you see the same thing for your books?
I don't really use Smashwords myself.
You're not missing much.
Yeah, I heard. The only thing about Smashwords, though, is that you could have your book for free. So yes, if you have the book for free, you could get a lot of readers who they may not pay you like up front. But if you have that free book, you can get them to read your content and then maybe pay you for one of your books in the future. That's the only thing I've heard about Smashwords getting used for.
Yeah, I've had I did a trial with that as well after talking with Nick Stevenson, who's like a thriller author who did this for his fiction series and then, you know, trying to replicate it for his nonfiction series, which is of course aimed at authors like you. I'm gonna write this book and then, you know, of course tell everybody how I did it. That book actually gets probably 30 to 100 free downloads a day, which is actually not bad, and then driving downloads that way. Where I found actually much faster success with that was doing a paid promo with what's the site? Noise Trade. So noisetrade.com is actually a service aimed at musicians, but they've added an author platform to it as well. And so I paid, I think, $150 or maybe $250 for a placement in their newsletter, which went out to, they claim, you know, 1.6 million subscribers. Like, oh my gosh, that's incredible reach. And it was about how to earn money outside of your day job. And so generated maybe 400 or 500 opt-ins at that point. So the premise is I'm going to give away this content for free in exchange for an email address. And you can, as a user, you can tip the musician or the author. But most people, at least for me, most people didn't, which was fine. But you get their email address, which is something you don't get on Amazon. So I thought that was a really interesting platform. And I think I just passed the 1,000 subscriber mark from that promo, and it, hey, this is something that was already given away for free on Amazon, so why not try this place too?
I love how you're repurposing the books that you have written so that they're able to have a greater impact other than the amount of sales and visibility that they get from Kindle alone. But for some of the viewers out there, maybe they haven't written a Kindle book quite yet. They're wondering what type of work it takes to go from I have a book idea to publishing the Kindle book and watching it become successful.
A lot. Well, I mean, you know, as well as I do, it's kind of a daunting process. If you have on your to-do list, you know, write book, it's not going to get done. So what I found a little bit more effective is to break it down into different goals. So maybe like outline chapter one is maybe a more realistic goal. My friend Chandler recommends kind of creating a mind map first, kind of a visual, bubble chart drawing of everything you know on this topic, and it kind of branches out, and then using that to create your outline. And then what I found, if I'm working from an outline, even for blog posts, it's kind of like filling in the gaps. It almost kind of gamifies it. And so it's like, oh, I can write this section, I can write this, and I end up jumping around, and it becomes a little bit more fun than, you know, starting with that blank document, the blinking cursor.
Oh, that's terrible.
And just be like, oh, what should I put first? Yeah.
I'm happy that you mentioned the outline. That's a really important part of writing content really fast, because if you're just like trying to think of the ideas as you go, certain ideas could get misplaced and it's just not as good content compared to if you just use an outline.
I was always the kid in school that like was very anti-outline. I was like, this is dumb. Why are we wasting time on this? I should just be writing. But as a few years later, I've seen the value in them.
I'm happy that you see the value in them, and I'm hoping that a lot of the listeners are also seeing the value in the outlines as well. So I hope that they use it for writing their Kindle books if they choose to go down that route, writing blog posts as well. So as we have mentioned in this interview, Nick has written a book that it's become successful. It's got a lot of reviews. It's made him an authority in his niche. So what is the best part about hitting the breakthrough?
I think I'm still breaking through, man. I don't know. It's cool to be able to publish something for free on what is probably the world's largest store. And if you can give it that initial momentum, what I found is the Amazon algorithms start to work in your favor. Like if you can, it's kind of like the old GM saying, like being number one sells cars. It's like if you can prove to Amazon people are willing to buy your book, they want to help you sell more of that, if that makes sense. Like you can prove the conversion rate. So I don't know, like I think I'm still breaking through, but it's been a really fun journey, and I've got probably half a dozen more book ideas like sitting on my hard drive or semi outlined. It's just, trying to find the time to get it done and get them written.
That's pretty awesome. And I'm happy that like you're thinking of new book ideas, because I feel like once you get into a groove of writing Kindle books, you're just always thinking about Kindle books. In the beginning, I know it could be really hard to get that first book out, but once you get those first couple of books, now it's like the opposite where you've got so many different ideas clustered in your head.
Yeah, it's so true. It's weird because I thought that would be the one book that I wrote. And since then I've added, I think, 7 more to the portfolio. And I think it very much is a portfolio business on the income side of it, because, unless you have a super smash hit, it's really tough to build a significant income from just one title.
So you've published several books already, so you know how the Kindle growing there works. I have a question for you in terms of which one feels better. Does it feel better to click the publish button or look at your sales dashboard and see all those sales coming in? Which one gives you the bigger motivation factor?
When you hit publish, it's definitely like a relief of like, oh my gosh, the burden of this project is over. But the sad part is it's all kind of just beginning, because it's like, once you hit publish, it's still on you to market this thing, to make sure people know about it, to drive the initial sales and reviews. And so your work is really just beginning. So it's like one phase. It's like chapter one is over, but chapter two is just starting.
It's never ending. That's basically, it's the truth about breakthroughs. Like once you hit a breakthrough, it's like, where's the next breakthrough?
Yeah, everybody's, searching for that next. Once you hit that one plateau, it's on to the next.
Right. So for the people who are still on that point where they've been wanting to break through in this particular area really bad, what are some of the advice that you can give to these people so they hit their breakthroughs?
Like, why do you want to do it? Like, what's on the other side for you? I think every destination is kind of greeted with the same question. Like, okay, now what? And if you don't have a good answer for that, like, you know, why are you pushing so hard? It's kind of like, I have an essay called "The Journey is the Destination." It's like, you got to enjoy the process of it and learn to live, you know, learn to live that process, because it's all process. You know, even once you get there, you're not, you know, where to next, you know?
Nick, you said that was the correct advice, but I mean, for some people, I know for you, you've probably been through this. I've been through this. I bet everyone's been through this. You love the journey, but there are some points when you think, just got to get the journey done.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote essays in high school. Like, I was like really obsessed with this like teleportation like sci-fi book. And I was like, this would be perfect. Like, you know, I just, you know, beam me up. Like, I just want to get there. But I think, I don't know, I've shifted a little bit, and I still have that like same impatience, like in transit and stuff. Like, I want to accelerate this, but trying to embrace that and learn along the way.
It's all fun though. There are people right now who maybe they published their Kindle books, or maybe they're on the verge of writing their Kindle books. So what three tips do you have for helping these writers publish their Kindle books and allow them to do well in the marketplace?
Three tips, only three tips. There's a lot of things that go into it. Don't skimp on your covers. Make sure to hire an editor if you've never worked with an editor before. And you know, make it a book that's going to help somebody. Make it a book that's worth reading, right? So. My friend Jim Kukral, and I've been throwing his name around a lot lately. He runs a site called Author Marketing Club. He told me that people only use the internet for two reasons. Number one, to be entertained. Number two, to solve a problem. And so your book has to be really awesome at one or both of those things to get noticed and to make sales. So those would be my three: cover, editor, and, you know, solve a problem or be really good at entertaining someone.
Awesome tips, Nick. I mean, I've never really thought of going on the web as either to solve a problem or entertain. Because I always approach it usually from the solve a problem angle. The entertaining angle isn't always there as much. It's just, how can I provide this information, make it understandable, and then my audience can use this information to become more successful. So I'm happy that you also approached it from that angle as well.
Well, that's my experience too. Like, very much analytical, how-to tutorials, case studies, problem-solving stuff. But on Amazon specifically, the fiction side of the business, the entertainment side of the business, does a much greater volume, but I think it's harder to break into. Like, it's, you know, books are typically longer, and it's more like blockbuster-driven, right? So The Martian is going to sell a ton of copies, 50 Shades of Grey is going to sell a ton of copies, Harry Potter is going to sell a ton of copies, and then, like, everybody else is, you know, it's much harder to do, like, keyword, you know, rankings for this type of books, because like, people have to know the title. They're not going to be searching for generic like wizard story or something, you know?
Right. I believe that the fiction books, they are harder to get into, but once you have that really successful fiction book, it's just easier because you could just create a series around that one fiction book.
Yep. And then the cycle keeps going.
Exactly. So it takes a lot of drive to write Kindle books or just pursue a business in general. And I feel like we're all driven by inspirational quotes. So my question to you is, what is your favorite inspirational quote and why?
Perfection is the enemy of good enough. And I don't know who said that, but it's something that my dad kind of hammered home a lot when we were working on like home improvement projects. Growing up, he would say, it's not a piano. And what he meant by that was like, look, let's just get it done. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. And it's not to say he didn't care about quality, because, you know, you got to get the job done right. But sometimes that extra incremental effort to make it, you know, 100% perfect, you're never going to get there. And that's definitely the case with, you know, with writing. So you could edit and, you know, rewrite. And you may never be 100% satisfied with your work. So at a certain point, you just got to ship it.
I totally agree with that. I feel like if you try and be perfect, it'll never happen. There's a story of like, there was some business owner who tried to make the product perfect, spent like millions of dollars on it, and then it just never even launched because it was never really seen as the perfect product. So it could really hurt you if you try to maintain perfection when you can't really do that.
That's right. Reid Hoffman from LinkedIn. You know, if you're not embarrassed by your first product, you launched too late.
That is very true. So I would like to thank my guest, Nick Looper, for spending his time with us. And I'm going to give him the floor right now to basically let us all know where we can find him on the web.
Best place to find me is probably SideHustleNation.com. We'd love to have you tune into the Side Hustle Show podcast with new business ideas for part-time and aspiring entrepreneurs. Lots have been there, done that. Awesome case studies in the archives there. And if you hit SideHustleNation.com/ideas, you'll have a constantly updated laundry list of part-time business ideas that you can start today.
Awesome. Thank you, Nick, for being a guest on the podcast.
You bet, man.
What a great interview that was. Nick is quite the side hustler and turning Kindle publishing into a steady stream of income. In fact, he's side hustling in a variety of areas ranging from apps that pay you to Amazon FBA. Nick is one of those entrepreneurs who has several streams of income that combine into a mighty river. All of his side hustles add up. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry. We've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markguberti.com/E2. You can ask questions over there, which I'll be more than happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give the podcast a rating and or a review. Two ways you can do this are through markguberti.com/iTunes or markguberti.com/Stitcher. Two ways you could do this are through markguberti.com/iTunes or markguberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. Are you thinking about outsourcing your business? If you are, you'll be interested in my Outsourcing Domination training course. In this course, I talk about experiencing success with your freelancers and how you can make a profit from outsourcing your tasks to other people. The course is valued at $100, but as a valued Breakthrough Success listener, I'm going to give you a 75% discount, and you can get that discount by heading over to markguberti.com/outsource.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.